I'll just say again, I haven't shared any of my notes with them, with anybody from the Faith Mission. So the fact that this is just a continuation of what seems to have been happening this morning is all of God. It's very reassuring for me. And I hope that it will really resonate with your hearts that he's here and he sees you and that he wants to speak directly to you. I haven't even thought about this. You've turned it on and everything. It's so great. Okay, we're starting with reason. Quick recap. We started with rules. They're a little bit more complicated than perhaps. I'm not going to say than perhaps you knew, because I'm quite sure you've all reached this point in life. You know that the rules can be complicated. Secondly, we spoke about rights. Being right, having rights versus doing right, like Jesus did. His kindness in controversy. His sympathy in scandal. We looked at the horror, the hypocrisy, the humanity. It was her horror, that poor woman. Their hypocrisy, the crowd of religious people. And it was Jesus' humanity, which is so much more pleasant to focus on. And really, it was nice to get to that point, because it felt a little bit heavy getting up to that point. Jesus is always such a great relief to talk about. Now we're at reason. Reason and reasons. Reasons are our motives. They are the why. Reason is common sense, rationale, and logic. I'm looking at the next slide and it's completely blank.
You must have animations.
There we go, so I do have animations, you're right. Hey, look, there it is. Okay. When it comes to rules and rights, we need to examine our reasons and then use reason. James 2, verse 10 to 13. For a person who keeps all the laws except one is as guilty as a person who has broken all of God's laws. For the same God who said you must not commit adultery also said you must not murder. So if you murder someone but do not commit adultery, you've still broken the law. This is a way of saying nobody's better than anybody else. Verse 12, so whatever you say or whatever you do, remember that you will be judged by the law that sets you free. Now, just a note here, perhaps you all know, perhaps you don't, but there is a judgment that comes. Even when you've been saved, even when Jesus has paid the price for your sins, and yes, we get to go to heaven, that's a sure thing, an absolute sure thing. But there's still a judgment that happens. It's appointed on the man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So we still have to answer for the things that we do in this life. It's not a complete free pass. There is a judgment that comes. Verse 13 says, there will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. So it seems to me you have a choice. You can be judged by the rules, and it's the good ones, because it says it is the law that sets you free. That's the gospel. That's the law of liberty. That is, those are the good rules. Remember we talked, not all rules are bad. Not all rules are bad all of the time. So you can be judged by those rules. That's fine. It's an option. It's a kind of live by the sword, die by the sword sort of option. But there will be no mercy. But you can live with mercy and be judged with mercy. Rules are an option, but mercy is the ideal. Now, the book of James itself is actually controversial. Martin Luther, the father of the Reformation, so the Reformation is where we get a lot of our current theology for what we call evangelical Christianity. There's a lot of words in there. But he's a big name in Christianity. Let's just put it like that. He had trouble with the book of James. I think it's kind of audacious of him to have trouble with anything in the Bible. But he did. He suggested, I believe at one point, that you know, maybe just be moved to the end of the Bible, that we just shuffle the order around a little bit. And he said, you know, it's not all bad, but it's not the best book. I think he struggled a little bit with the fact that it does seem to contradict the doctrine of justification by faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Because it does present a counterpoint to that, but I actually like the book of James because of that. Because, you know, if we're tempted to take a hard line on anything, if you read enough of the Bible, you will find something that makes you question that hard line that you have taken. And it's difficult for those people that like everything tidy and cut and dried and to have all the answers. But some people are really comfortable in the grey areas. Paradoxes, seeming contradictions. To me, those areas, they say, there is more here. Look closer. Look kinder. Life is messy. And the truth is not always simple. It's not always easy. I wonder where I am on the slide. Oh, yeah, we did that. No, I've got to go back. There, yeah. So, when I reach these points, it's almost as if God is saying to me, what if I never tell you the answer? What if you never figure it out? Will you still love me for who I am rather than what you understand? And I think of Jesus saying to that poor woman who was abused by these religious leaders, I don't condemn you. Get going. Make good choices. To me, Jesus is most beautiful when he is colouring outside of the lines. The brilliance can be seen in the genius of his love. When things get messy, where do we go? When our reasons get blurred, where do we look for reason? I have a suggestion. Jesus is great in messy situations. Always siding with love over condemnation. Love is always his reason. It is his reason for existing. Jesus' reason for existing was to die for us. And he had to die because of free will. Why does free will matter so much? He died because we keep using our free will to choose imperfection, cruelty, revenge, selfishness, and all the rest. God could literally have made each one of us automatically follow the rules like drones, with the efficiency of an ant colony. But we would be unable to love. God is love, and you cannot experience God if you cannot experience love. We broke the rules. By rights, we deserve punishment. The reason for Jesus' sacrifice is that. In our hearts, if we want people to behave, to follow the rules, more than we want them to love and to know God, we are working and living in contrast to God's wishes and Jesus' example. Jesus is always for the underdog. I find myself wondering if that woman knew when she looked into Jesus' eyes, she knew that she'd found her salvation. And if she knew in a greater way that we had all found our salvation. I started this talk by telling you about me and the rules, and I thought that my path through life would be a straight trajectory. I thought that it was a straight line from rebellion to behaving well, and through behaving well that I would avoid rejection. Rejection has always been something, it is something, it's one of my greatest fears, but it's always been something that I've not been able to escape. I tried as a child. Remember, every year I was so keen. I was going to do right. I was going to be a good girl. I was going to follow the rules. I tried in college as well. Now, even with the Holy Spirit to help me, I thought, now I've got it. Not in my own strength. This will be it. This will be when I managed to get it all right. And I managed to avoid rejection. Especially from this group of people, because they're Christians, so they have to accept me. And even though I was steeped in the world, after Freudian slip, even though I was steeped in the Word during college, and even though I spent so much time alone with God and really got to know Him, and even though I was radically transformed, I didn't turn into the person I thought I was going to turn into. I wasn't transformed in the way that I was hoping I was going to be transformed. And as I told you, my time in college, it ended badly. And it ended with some of my greatest fear, with a lot of rejection from people that I thought, I finally found my people. And it ended with rejection yet again. I kind of felt a bit sorry for myself. Then I came to Canada, and eventually I got a new name. I got a bright and shiny new name of Bennett. And I thought, well, this is also a great opportunity to undo all the trouble that I'd had with Woodruff, which is my actual name. And because of the faithfulness of Mom and Dad, and because of the faithful service of aunts and uncles, the name of Bennett is respected in certain Christian circles. And I did kind of have the opportunity to become a bit more like Christian royalty than I had ever felt before. Before, I'd always felt like, oh, your name carries some weight. Let me tell you, I go places. Oh, you're the Bennett's daughter. Yes, daughter. I don't put the in-law there. Yes, that's definitely me. And it was surprising for me because I'd always felt like the underdog. But I soon found out that if I pretended to be anybody other than who I was, I became ill. And I don't mean, oh, I'm faking. I have a bit of a stomach cramp. I feel guilty. I mean, my body actually, in the long term, turned against me like a disease. And I would suffer very serious attacks that would end me up in hospital. And these attacks, they had a name, and they could be measured, and they could be treated. But the cause of them couldn't. They couldn't find it. I was tested for absolutely everything, and I'm very blessed to have an incredibly healthy body. But it didn't help find a solution to this problem. And as a last resort, I started taking care of my mental health. Now, this was over a decade ago. We weren't having the kind of conversations in society that we are today. Whereas we know, it's just health. It's just part of our health. Of course we have to look after it the same way we look after everything else. But back then, I felt a lot of shame. We weren't talking about it in Christianity, absolutely not. Except to say, you know, you should probably just pray harder because it's obviously some kind of failing in you and your relationship with God. So I did. I felt like a failure. But on some level, I knew. I knew that it wasn't a failure. That it was part of my journey to let go of the desire to be perfect so that I would be accepted. And so that things would go smoothly for me. And to cling to something that I'd actually asked for, which is honesty. I had asked to be genuine. From the moment I became a Christian, I wanted to be real. And I made the mistake of asking for it. I'm trying to read my notes. This came to me this morning. I wasn't going to say any of this at the end. So I could have come here this weekend and I could have dazzled you. I'm actually really good at public speaking. I could have not relied so much on my notes. I could have walked around a little bit more, told a few more jokes, been really interesting, kept your attention. I could have performed. But I couldn't do that and be real. I do not love the rules, and the rules don't love me. I've always been awkward and weird, and sometimes I say things, I speak my mind, and then my mind is always going. And sometimes I don't speak my mind because I'm so wrapped up in myself. And yeah, I've got all this going on. So to come out here and just to present something to you that wasn't real felt like it just wasn't worthwhile. Felt like I would be shortchanging you. I didn't want to come up here and entertain you and perform, because who needs any more of that? We have so much entertainment available these days. I could have put something together that would have made everybody happy, that would have impressed you all, that would have left you all feeling nice and lovely, and even impressed at how much I knew about the Bible, and, you know, maybe even impressed at, you know, what a great spiritual person I was. But that's not the truth that I am grappling with right now. That's not actually where I'm at. And I knew that what I've presented this weekend was not the popular way to go. And it's not been easy. But I feel that the truth is that I'm not alone. Not by a long shot. I didn't want to find my voice again after all this time. Only to perform. I wanted to use it to call out into the wilderness. So that if there are any other underdogs out there, you could hear me and know that you are not alone.